Chapter 1, A Future Terrorist. So, set your eyes on her, the future terrorist of the entire world. Do those black eyes terrify? They better. But don't get caught staring. Belief is fragile until broken, until something else falls in to replace. Because it has to. Like a round in the chamber she was ready, without even knowing why. Just determined, because you must be dangerous in this world. It was one of those terrible days in August. The sweat of garbage rising up. Our future terrorist running. She took cover in the old laundromat. Seemed a likely enough place. She enjoyed the hum of the washers. She enjoyed the ritual of bodies. Workers of the city, gathering to wash out the poison of another week, listening to that hum, watching people sweat. Honestly, it pleased her, and this was her chant. This place is a dirty laundry. Meaning you leave here worse than you came in.
She thought of her mission, or at least the options. The way forward yet to materialize. Right now, she just needed to sit. Step by step. Stay. She didn't have a bag of laundry, but she didn't want to look out of place, so she swiped one from that skinny fool lurking by the dryers, the goofball kid, staring into his phone, a lost soul. She swiped his bag and dropped it into the machine behind her, smiling to herself because subtle thievery is so satisfying. The goofball startled up from his trance. What the... Where's my bag? He ran it at the laundry owner. Somebody took my stuff. What are you gonna do about it? The laundry owner just sneered back. Look at the sign. Not responsible for lost articles. Spit joined sweat on his plasticky face. The laundry owner crawled outside and lit up. Cigarette number 73. The kid smashed a machine and bounced. The future terrorist smiled. She understood the meaning that every accident tells the truth. Each accident is really a signal. But right then, a body lurched to her right, some creep with thinning hair from the registry of sickos. She thought again, what about the empty gestures? How does all of this connect? Years ago, there was this guy, Jerry. Just your average nobody. A smudge on the window of society, so to speak. But Jerry decided he wasn't satisfied being a smudge. He rose to manager at the OK Corral grocery. But being manager was never going to be enough for Jerry. These ghosts were chanting spells in his ear, incantations. His true level, and so he thought. And Jerry called his religion the empty gestures, because it required people to perform a sequence of moves over and over. Nobody knew where the moves came from, but Jerry wrote them down in a scroll as if they were received. And the irony of a supermarket called the OK Corral was never lost on Jerry. No way am I getting smoked near the lettuce. Clean up in aisle 5. But actually, Jerry was dead already. He showed up in another town a year later, changed his name to Victor Otto, and he had a whole crew of people practicing the empty gestures in a barn. This whole scheme obsessed our future terrorist. How does a normal nobody reinvent himself? A normal nobody recruit these others? And she pictured them all in that barn, twisting and sweating, doing the empty gestures over and over as if it meant everything. A perfect joke for our times. Belief is fragile until broken, when something else falls in to replace, because it has to. She needed to understand a way to counteract the sickness of places pressing in on her. She was trapped in her own story. But Jerry got out, and right then, the future terrorist of the entire world just focused in on the hum of the washers, until she noticed this creep next to her. You got a problem, creep? Me? I don't believe so. Then fuck off, okay? My apologies, I'm just so curious about the clientele. I'm just doing my laundry, creep. Right, but then you're just sitting here pretending. What? You're not actually doing anything, but perhaps you're one of those empty gestures. Right then she flipped, snaps her arm out into his neck, and smashes him against the concrete wall. What the fuck did you just say?
No, nothing. I was just playing around.
And the future terrorist of the entire world sat back with a stolen bag of laundry on her lap. And she wasn't worried about causing a scene, because right then, they were invisible to the others. It was an act of willpower. And she said, "Well, I have this theory about the laundry trance, that certain details go unnoticed when people do laundry, that people get lost in cycles and the chunka-ka-chunka of loose change with their unmentionables on display, and the ja-burr-ga of machines. Life is on hold. You do laundry, and your life is on hold." The creep stared back into her flickering eyes.
"Actually, you know why I'm actually here. We need you to do a job."
"Who's we?"
"We need comedy to go away."
"What do you mean, comedy?"
"The whole nasty business." That's a tall order. Well, we believe in your skills. He looked at her without moving, then fell back wheezing like a busted pipe, adjusting bug-eyed glasses. She jumped up and started to run.
But don't forget your laundry,
the creep called behind her. She snatched the bag of laundry from his scaly fingers. She didn't look back, just jumped out into the heat of 1 a.m. The bleached out moon spinning down upon her. Wash, wash, wash. Zap out all stains and then you will actually see. And be ready. But it wouldn't click. Why the fuck did that creep mention comedy and smile? His creepy smile, as if he knew her whole goddamn story, and she was guilty by association. The smile was a sentence. Later, the authorities would learn that her father was a comedian. A bullshit comedian, but a comedian nevertheless. You paid a cover, you drank your drink, and he sold you his routine. And we all know, doing laundry is dangerous. People see you. Your unmentionables on display. Nobody talks. Just watching those foamy windows spin. So witness now the chief inspector sitting in the cruiser with Bruce. Her partner. They were eating sandwiches. Actually, just Bruce. Loud and messy like a hog. The chief inspector studied her sandwich, trying to ignore Bruce and think. The investigation is going nowhere. It didn't make sense. A person calling herself the future terrorist, going after comedians? What's the motive? We need motives to connect all the clues like a frame around the picture. But that formula wasn't working. And then she snapped, "It's a message." Bruce grunted, "Huh? What's that, Chief? Can you shut up?
I don't understand. What's up, Chief?"
Eating like that, it reflects poorly on the department and the investigation.
I'm sorry, Chief.
She was surrounded by animals. Nobody had any goddamn control anymore. The irony being, she gained her control from a life of crime, her old life. Now she was on the law side, playing a joke on herself. Or maybe she was soft all along. Law and order. And somehow, it connected to this hogman sitting next to her. She threw her sandwich out the window, cranked the ignition, and peeled out into the street. Bruce choked and jerked his head.
Where are we going, Chief?
The real story of the chief inspector. Years ago, the chief inspector was an empty gesture. She didn't have a choice. Her parents were followers of Victor Otto. They gathered in this creepy barn every morning to practice a sequence of moves over and over and over, like it actually meant something. To see these people mumbling to themselves, boiling over with phony hopes. You can empty yourself, that you can receive or at least dull the pain. Morons. And afterwards, Otto would pump them up and they would recite the empty gesture slogan. We who are empty, we follow no formula. We move without reason. We add to subtract, never to be counted again. Her parents were goners. Even as a 7-year-old kid, she understood. She didn't see an opening yet. But still, it was coming. 3 times a week, the empties would do demonstrations, sharing the message, performing the miraculous empty gestures in parking lots, in front of the movie house, under the expressway. The cops would follow them. She watched the cops watching them, and that's when she made a run for it. Well, so much for happy endings. Her movie was busted now. Or, playing backwards, she became the people she was watching. And the empty gestures reinvented themselves. It was for rich people now. Expensive parties. People showing off for entertainment, salvation, or both. There was a profile in the newspaper. One of these corporate types and his ugly wife doing empty gestures right next to Victor Otto. The same sick son of a bitch. Just older and more insane. Whatever. She needed to be done with this story. And never quite erased. Something needed to happen. Maybe revenge on Victor Otto and his followers. She could kill him. Or at least kick him in the nuts. Something. If she didn't keep busy, these visions took control of her. But what's the damn point? The gestures used to be an act of desperation. Huh? What's that, Chief? I wasn't talking to you, Bruce. And stop talking with your mouth full. It's disgusting. Okay?
Sorry, Chief.